All right, Luke. Here's the scripture we're going to today. Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." And may God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doing of his holy word. That's not the scripture that I sent you, and that's fine. What you talk about with the kids is fine, because it all goes right along with this. Earlier, well, it wasn't earlier, it was Friday, I sent Gene the scripture about the rich young ruler. You know the story of the rich young ruler. He goes to Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" Or, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom?" And he says, "You do this, this, this." He says, "All of this I've done since I was a young boy." And he says, Jesus says, "Well, then go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then come follow me." And he goes away sad. That's the story she's going to cover with the kids, which is fine. This all sort of goes together. You know, when I grew up I was born in 62, so barely remember anything about Vietnam. Don't really remember, I remember Vietnam, the word, but I would have been 10, 11, 12 years old. Soldiers came home and what they faced here, and now I've certainly read a lot about it, heard a lot about it, know a lot about it, but really from that time until 1991, when we had the first Gulf War, that's about 20 years of my formative years, my growing up, my teenage years. It was all pretty relative comfort, security. As a matter of fact, we went from, they had the draft, which, there aren't very many people younger than me here. Joseph and Chris, and I'm sorry, what's your name again? Ashlyn. And a couple more. Isn't it hard to believe that they used to draft people? Like, I do remember my uncle. I remember sitting in front of the TV and numbers would come across the screen. Is that right? Do I remember that right? I'm thinking that I remember sitting in front of the TV watching to see if his number was going to come up to go into the service. But that's unheard of now. Now we have a volunteer army. Now we have nephews, and you have people who are serving voluntarily in the military. And for about 20 years, the military was about like almost like going into a trade school. I mean, you would go in. I've got a first cousin right now, and a couple nephews. One of my nephews is in Hawaii. Stationed in Hawaii. Our Matt's friend Dakota, he posted something from Bahrain the other day. Now, maybe not a good place to be, but they were out having fun and taking pictures. But if you think about the military, you think about that time when people would sign up in the military, never dreaming that they would have to go and fight for that 20 years. That you sign up for the military and you get trained in something and you learn a skill, and but then in the early 90s everything changed, and no doubt there were some people who had signed up, and when they said you're going to go, we're going to need you to go over here and go to war, there's no doubt that some of them would have said, what? This is not what I signed up for. Can you see that? Like people in the 80s and 90s when I was, or in the 80s when I could have easily gone into the military and learned to trade, learned how to work on diesel engines, and been a diesel mechanic. And do you know what the problem, as that translates to the church, is? There are too many of us, there are too many people in the American church who have signed up for this army where it's just for our own benefits and we don't really expect to go to war. Do you not agree with that? There are too many people sitting in churches all across the country who are there. I like the music and the preacher's not boring and I want to be fed, and that's not the church that Jesus established. It is not the church that Jesus established. Jesus said things like, if you don't hate your father and mother, boy, that's going to preach well. If you don't pick up your cross, and we lose that. Oh, yeah, I've got a cross around my neck. If you don't pick up your cross, think electric chair today. I know they don't do that anymore today, but almost all of us, I remember the electric chair. Pick up your electric chair and follow me. That's going to get a crowd. I love one preacher one time I heard say, Jesus, we're never going to get on the list of 10 fastest growing churches if you keep saying that eat my body and drink my blood stuff. It's not appealing to people. But do you know what? It's really weird. Jesus didn't care if you walked away. I mean, maybe he cared, but he wasn't willing to bend the message so that you would stay. He wanted you to know what you signed up for. There's a couple quotes here. When John 6, verse 67, Jesus says, you have to eat my body and drink my blood speech, and all kinds of people leave. They're going, freak, what's that about? I'm out of here. I can find other leaders to follow. I don't need a crazy one. And then he looks at the disciples and he says, are you going to go too? Are you going to go too? And they say, where would we go? The disciples knew that nobody else had the words of life. Christianity does not consist of begrudging obedience to Christ. Christianity does not consist of begrudging obedience to Christ. There are people who are not going to come to church today because it's snowing. Yet if there was a basketball game in Morgantown today, they would go across Kaiser Ridge And the people said, I know, I can say that in front of you guys because you're here this morning. It's this half-hearted, what do I have to do, not what can I do mentality. It's like when a man gets home from when a man gets home from a hard day of work, and his wife's in the kitchen, and she's probably been out of a hard day of work too now with the younger people, but the man goes in the kitchen, and he gives his wife a big kiss, and she says, "What was that for?" And he says, "Well, you know, I read in page 47 of this book that you would really like that. And so I thought I would just go ahead and do it." Do you see the difference? Jesus wants you to know what the cost is up front. I cannot tell you how many people that I've driven away from this church since just in the short time I've been here because they've said, "Oh yeah, I'm thinking about coming here because I'm not getting fed at this other church." And I say, "You probably won't like it here either then." I've had people accuse me of only being worried about how many people we get in church. And I can tell you at least 10 people who I've said, "This probably isn't the church for you. You probably wouldn't like it here." Jesus says, pick up that torturous thing and follow me. And people will turn away. And that's okay. But the ones who stay, they're going to change the world. The ones who are willing to count the cost, the ones who are willing to sacrifice it all. Do you have to sell everything? You've heard me say it, and you'll hear me say it time and time again. No. Is it okay to have things? Diane said she has nice things. Now, she only paid $1.99 for most of them, but she's got nice things. She drives a nice car. It's okay. You know, David Platt, who I just read that Christianity is not something that you do begrudgingly, because if it is, then it's not Christianity. He just left the church at Brook Hills in Birmingham, Alabama, to become the director of the Baptist Mission Board. He just left being pastor of a church where he has a dozen associate pastors. All he really has to do is preach. He doesn't have to go to the hospital and visit anyone. All he has to do every week is preach and write books. And he gave that up and became the head of the Baptist Mission Board. You know, what we don't have to give everything up, but we have to be willing to give everything up. And most of the time we're willing to give everything up until we have to give everything up. And then it separates this is sexist too, the men from the boys. The big girl, the girls who have their big girl pants on and the girls who have their little girl pants on. And remember, we're in week two of things that got Jesus killed. Do you see how this would get him killed? We don't want to hear that stuff. Got another quote or two here. This one also from David Platt. "The brand of Christianity we have adopted operates on coming to Jesus on our own terms. And this is foreign to the New Testament. This is not the Jesus that was in the Bible. You do not come to Him on your own terms." I do not come to Him on my own terms. I said when I was going to become a preacher, I said, I know there's a full-time position for me District Superintendent Aaron Rich, but I want to stay in the Tyler County area. That's funny, isn't it? I know there's something full-time for me, but I want to stay in this area, so see what you can do. That's not obedience. That's not being willing to lay it all out there. People are going to Haiti, and they're afraid. I would start naming names, but I don't want to. But one person said, I haven't flown since I was 14 years old. They're 62 now. I said, planes have changed a little since then. They no longer have the guy who goes out there and goes with the propeller. It's the same God who you trust to get you through the day, who you're going to trust to get you through that week in Haiti. The girl who, one girl, never, one lady, she's a girl to me, never been on an airplane before. And the lady who's afraid of the airplanes is freaking her out. You don't even count the cost. You say, Lord, I lay down my life if that's what you want. If the plane goes down, what if you believe what this book says and the plane goes down, what a better way to enter the can you think of a better way to enter heaven? Maybe the only better way to enter heaven is if you're on your knees in Libya getting your head lopped off, and then you've taken your last breath here, and then your next breath is celestial air, and you're there and going, Jesus, what happened? I was just calling out to you. And all you have to do to turn the way of the American church is to change the worship time. And the people said, Amen. I want to be the church that says, whatever the cost, popularity, money, I don't care, Jesus, whatever. I want you. I don't want you so I could have these other things. I just want you. This is a hard sermon to preach. Can you imagine? And, I mean, you're not going to kill me for it. But it's hard to hear when you're going, boy, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this sermon today. And it's about me. It's about me and my life. Am I willing to give it up? Am I willing to lay it down? Am I willing to follow a guy who says, you got to... And, you know, then we try to make excuses for him. Oh, he doesn't really mean hate your mother and your father. He means, compared to him, it seems like hate. I don't know what he means. I know they killed him because he demanded a lot. But he demands a lot only after you say, yes, I'll follow. Let me pray. God, as I struggle with the words to end this service this morning, I pray that the words that I've said, that you will in the hearts of all who hear this, whether they're sitting here or whether they're listening to this later, sitting in front of their computer. I pray that, Lord, I pray that you would use the words I've spoken, the scripture I've read, to help each person ask themselves the question, am I truly a follower of Jesus? Am I truly a disciple of Jesus? Am I willing to do what He calls me to do? Or would I be better off turning away until that time I am ready? Just pray that you would use this morning and this message to help me and to help each person who hears it to examine their own heart, their own motive. That's a big one for me, Lord. And you would help us count the cost. And you would help us to, because it's going to take your Holy Spirit, that you would help us willingly risk it all for Jesus. We pray this in His name. And all God's people said, Amen.